Hello and welcome back to Inside Value with me, Siam Ding. It's great to have you back. With today's episode, we are three quarters of the way through our exploration of the framework. So let's jump right into the third sector, niche value analysis. This sector is the third sector in the framework overall, but it's also the first of the two sectors that fall into the external value mapping half of the framework. If you've listened or watched previous episodes, you'll already have downloaded a copy of the framework from the show notes. But in case you haven't, I've added it to this episode's show notes as well. Niche value analysis is actually one of the sectors that really gets me going. Here, we stop looking at the inside of the enterprise and we begin seeing how it works in context with the rest of the environment that it operates within. No business or nonprofit organization exists as an island. And much of an enterprise's strategic and operational decisions are made in response to external stimulus. Niche value analysis is the first place where we start taking that outside stimulus into account when we're discovering value opportunities and formulating our value strategy. So what's happening when we do niche value analysis? At its heart, we are doing two things. One, we are analyzing the niche and competitive environment that the enterprise operates in by closely looking at the relative proximity between the enterprise and its target clients or partners, and the enterprise and its competitors, and the enterprise targets and its competitors. And we are scanning the outcomes of that analysis with a value-centric lens to find the value opportunities that are inherent to the niche and inherent to all of that positionality that's going on between everyone. The ultimate objective of niche value analysis is to understand everyone's proximity to each other and leveraging that proximity to create value. But ultimately, what you're looking to do in niche value analysis is get yourself as close to your target client, donor, or stakeholder as you can. More importantly, closer to them than your competitor is to them. Now, what do I mean by proximity? I've got a little diagram that'll help you visualize this a bit better in the show notes, but it's literally, as I said, just how close you are to your target client, donor, or stakeholder. The closer you are, or the greater proximity that you have to your target client, the more likely it is that they will come to you versus your competitor for something that both you and your competitor both offer. The next point is, what exactly determines that proximity? Some providers or determinants of proximity can be having a stronger value offering or having the strongest value offering in that niche, having stronger relationships or the strongest relationship with the client compared to your competitors, having a greater degree of differentiation from your competitors, or having a greater degree of trust between you and your client. Once again, these are things that bring you closer to your client or your donor. And that greater proximity means that you're more likely to have more positive and successful outcomes with that client or that donor. The thing to remember is that these proximities are always changing. Everyone in the niche is constantly moving closer to each other and away from each other, depending on the aforementioned determinants of proximity that I just mentioned. Today, you have an excellent value offering, and you've never been more proximal to your clients. And 2 months from now, your competitor dupes your value offering or develops a stronger one and they become more proximal. Next year, a scandal erupts in the niche and donors lose trust in all the NPOs that are operating within that niche and everyone loses proximity. Constant motion. Yours is to study the niche and its players and to continually create proximity between yourself and who you want to be in proximity to. Lastly, how exactly do you then leverage that proximity? How does that proximity convert to value? Here's where I break the mold of the previous episodes and I follow an entirely new format. We're going to do a very quick case study, and I'll answer those questions and highlight the framework's use during niche value analysis within this case study. But before we jump in, there's one last thing that I'd just like to touch upon. At this point, you may have been listening and thinking, but now, Sia, doesn't that just sound like competitor analysis? And on some level, it is that. and it's something a little bit extra. Competitor analysis has you study your competitor for gaps and strength that you then compare against your own capability to see where you can outpace and outperform them. And that outperformance does create value. But how niche value analysis differs from competitor analysis is that the whole niche overall is the scope. And you're looking at how everyone in the niche is placed respective to each other, what moves them closer to each other, what moves them away from each other, what moves them further apart. And this case study will highlight exactly what I mean by all of this. So let's begin. In this case study, we've got a large and historically renowned SME support agency that we'll just call Agency Alpha, or just Alpha, finding itself rendered obsolete by parties within its niche. These parties include smaller support agencies, corporate companies with SME development programs, banks with SME development programs, and similar organizations with a specific focus on developing SMEs and helping them grow. The nature of Alpha's work makes it impossible to not engage with all of these parties. They and all of these parties are in the same niche, and Alpha is the largest in the niche, so they are all going to cross paths eventually. Alpha, at this point, needs a way to recreate that value and recapture lost ground while also not completely alienating themselves from the party in their environment. So they decide that they'll try mapping their value opportunities using the niche value analysis sector in the value creation framework. Upon doing this, they discover some value opportunities that are available to them. The historical role that they've played in the niche means that the customers in the niche trust them more, which gives them a bit of a leg up in the proximity game. But in studying a little bit further, they notice some pretty substantial gaps. The first is that they're experiencing a lot of encroachment from competitors. That means that their competitors, which I just mentioned, are eating up their market share. They're also experiencing innovation from these competitors, meaning that the competitors are able to give more compelling value offerings to the customers in the niche. There are also negative perceptions by the customers within the niche. Alpha has lost quite a bit of ground in relation to the trust that they have between themselves and the customers in the niche, even though they are the most trusted in the niche. And lastly, they've also noted that they've got enmeshed boundaries with the competitors that they have. And this means that it's kind of difficult for the customers that they are serving to differentiate their offering from the offerings that are being offered by the competitors in the niche. Luckily for them, all of these gaps that they have identified become value opportunities under value innovation, and they can uncover those opportunities by digging a bit deeper in each gap. For example, under encroachment from competitors, Alpha has a chance to create value by asking questions like, what role do these competitors actually play in the niche? What is our actual role in the niche? Is there a spread or a gap in expertise within the niche? Who in the niche is the closest to being a one-stop shop? And how can we as Alpha get there first? Under innovation by competitors, Alpha can understand how their competitors created proximity to their clients and where Alpha can regain their proximity by asking, what facilitated our competitors' takeover? How are they leveraging and engaging the niche to create or provide innovation that delivers the value that the clients are looking for? What stakeholders are those competitors engaging in the niche to be able to deliver value, and how are they doing that? Under negative perceptions by the niche, Alpha can tighten up their current strategy by asking, what stakeholders hold what opinions? And what part of our existing strategy does that negative opinion correspond to? And then under the enmeshed boundaries situation, they can create differentiation that helps Alpha stand out and have the client not mistake Alpha for their competitors by asking, what are each of our mandates, that is, our competitors, each of our competitors and ourselves as Alpha, and our areas of work and the differences between all of this? What are our differences and our similarities in mission and rationale? What scenarios present the greatest jurisdiction confusions? Which is to say, under what scenarios is it most likely that that customer that we're trying to target is going to confuse us for our competitor? With answers to all of these questions, Alpha has a better understanding of the value creation dynamics in the niche and is then in a better position to be able to redevelop their value offering or to create a value strategy that puts them in greater proximity to their target clients. And with the end of that case study, we've gone through what you need to know about the niche value analysis sector in the value mapping framework. And that ties everything up into a nice little bow and brings this episode to a close. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to give it a like and subscribe to Inside Value on your preferred podcast platform. Be sure to follow Veev Consulting on LinkedIn, Instagram, and YouTube, and visit our website on veev.co.za, that is veivre.co.za, for more insights on value creation, value innovation, and value strategy. This has been Inside Value with me, Siam Dingy. See you in the next one.